Blog Talk Radio. What it do? It is November 26, 2019, 7 o'clock, East Coast. Welcome to another live edition of the Anthony Experience. I'm your host. this week is Thanksgiving week and Black Friday. I'm not going to talk about Black Friday. Okay, that's not a holiday, but what I am going to talk about, this is the third annual show about the truth about Thanksgiving. And it's important to talk about it because a lot of people don't know the background of Thanksgiving. It's like a lot of stuff in this country. People do things and, you know, we have stuff in this country, you know, a lot of this history in this country is made up, and it's not true history. It's whitewashed. It's, be honest with you, it's bullshit. So the story that we've been getting about Thanksgiving is pretty much bullshit. So tonight, I'm going to give you the true story. But I am also going to give you the bullshit side. So tonight's story is kind of like red pill, blue pill. You can continue to take the red pill, or you can take the blue pill and open up your mind to what really happened. Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. And I'm also going to do this for Christmas, because again, the story about Christmas isn't real either. It isn't what, you know, what people say it is. So I'm sure a lot of people are going to be upset, but you know, it is what it is. You know, for centuries, we have been taught about Thanksgiving, you know, the pilgrims, which they weren't called pilgrims, but, you know, they came over for religious freedom, which is not true. Came over, landed in the country. They had hard times. Native Americans showed up, and they were friends, and they showed them what to do, and they survived, and then they had a feast at the following year because blah, 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 yada, 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 blah, blah. Well, that's not really what happened. So if you know what happened, and you're already ahead of the game, but if you don't know what happened and want to find out, just stick around, and for the next, I don't know if we're going to go the whole hour and a half. We may just go an hour. But I will give the number in case you want to call. Number is 563-999-3682. And as usual, I've got five clips. The longest clip I got is about 11 minutes, but the other ones are short. And I put them together because in order to understand what's happening, you need to, you know, a lot of these, you know, you have to start at the beginning and then, you know, work your way and then, you know, get all the information, and you have to put it together. So all I'm doing is just giving you the info. What you do with the info is strictly up to you. And I just so happen to live in a part of the country where there are quite a few Native Americans. And, you know, got them in the family and all that kind of stuff. And there are Native Americans that don't celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, they say that you know, and you will hear in the clips that, you know, a lot of people want you to believe that, you know, the bullshit story was, you know, they were friends and all. But what they fail to tell you is that, you know, a lot of Native Americans were killed. you know, they want to cover that part up, but they don't want to give you the real story. So I give you the whole thing, good and bad. And don't even get me started on Black Friday. Black Friday is a scam. I used to work retail a long time ago. Black Friday is a scam. Matter of fact, this time of year, you know, some people like to say that it's, you know, joyous time of the year and all this kind of stuff. But for a lot of people, it's not. A lot of people, you know, will tend to overspend, will tend to spend a lot of money on nonsense, will tend to go into debt for nothing. And it's kind of sad. And it used to be in my day, when I was growing up, that Thanksgiving was its own holiday, you know. Like Halloween was Halloween, Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving, Christmas was Christmas. Now, this country is so stuck on money and everything else, they smash all three of these holidays together. And then you throw in Black Friday, and then you got a hot mess. And Black Friday is just really, you know, whatever profits that these companies didn't make during the first half of the year, they're trying to cram them in this last month to make up for whatever they didn't make up for the other 11 months of the year. You know, because it used to be a long time ago, it used to be, you know, you'd have Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, and then stores would open up on Friday, and then everything was just, it was just a normal whatever. And then you'd have 20-some days until Christmas to get your shopping done. Well, a few, I want to say maybe 20 years ago, Black Friday all of a sudden became a thing, because it used to be that everything was closed on Thursday. All the stores were closed. All the malls were closed. Everything was closed. And then they'd open up Friday morning. Now, stores are open. Everything is not closed like it used to be. Some stores are still open. Some stores close and then open up at 6, 7, 8 o'clock Thursday night and go up until 12, 1, you know, in the morning, and then turn right back around and reopen again Friday morning. So now it's all about money. It's all about money. And the true story about Christmas, a lot of people don't know about that. But, you know, it's not as religious as people want to make it out to be. A lot of it is pagan. A lot of people think that Thanksgiving is religious, and it's not. You know, it's cool to be thankful for what you got, but, you know, it's kind of messed up that, you know, people always want to pretend that everything is religious, but then they act the opposite, you know. You know, it's this thing we got going on now in the country, you know. You got these people that want to pretend to be religious, and they support the most crookedest, cheapest, crooked son of a bitch we ever had in the White House. But they want to pretend that they're religious. They're not. You know. So it's cool to be thankful for what you have. But, you know, if you don't do it and act it, you know, it should be something 24. It should be 24/7, 365, not just one day out of the year, and then you go back to being, you know, you pretend to be something that you ain't, and then you go back to, you know, it's phony. Phony, 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 phony. But we're going to get to the real deal about Thanksgiving, in case you don't know. And what it should be, that this, the real, and it's messed up that, you know, people know about what really happened, but they won't tell the kids. And that's the and that's the real deal right there. That's the thing. The kids have to know the truth. I have grandkids, and when they get old enough to know what's happening, I'm gonna tell them the truth. I'm gonna tell them the truth about everything, good or bad. And we need to start telling the kids the truth. And they all carry computers in their pocket. They should be looking this stuff up. But they need to know the truth. That it wasn't as simple as having a harvest and then getting together and then having a big party. And, you know, that's not how it happened. They didn't even have turkey for Thanksgiving. They had deer and other stuff. But you'll hear that in the clips. So, you know. So what will I be doing this Thursday? Like a lot of these holidays, once you find out the truth, they're just regular days. So, I mean, Thursday will be Thursday. I'm off Thursday. No, that's not true. I work Thursday morning. I'm off Thursday afternoon. So I will be spending time with family and eating and watching football and, you know, chilling. And then Friday, I'm off and I will be chilling because it makes no sense for me to go. And I've got my thing. You know, my whole thing changed when I learned, you know, what Christmas is about. Since I have grandkids now, you know, I'll be getting them things, and you know, I'll get some family, you know, but I'm not really going to go overboard with this because, you know, since I know the real deal, it's like, yeah, you know, they're just going to be regular days to me. So Thursday just be a regular day. There'll be some differences because I'll be hanging out with family members and, you know, it'll be different, but it's not going to be a big deal. The most important meal, the most important part will be the sweet potato pie. And to me, I'm addicted to sweet potato pies. That's like my crack. I don't do drugs. I don't drink sweet potato pie because I only get them this time of the year. And my mother makes them, and I'm telling you, whew, they are like crack. I can cut up a whole pie into eighths and have the whole thing gone in about an hour. Them things are the bomb. I ain't talking pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie don't count. I said sweet potato pie. That's my crack. Oh. So hopefully the Cowboys will win Thursday. Oh. They've been playing like a bunch of chumps. But yeah, it's just going to be regular Thursday, nothing special. So, you know, other people may feel different, you know, but it is what it is. But tonight you will get the truth. And then, like I said, you can do whatever you want with it, with the information. So this first clip. First clip, I call this is the bullshit version. This is the version that has been taught to school kids. This is the version that has been taught to everybody. This is the version that they try to pass on as being the truth, which it is not. But in order to get into what I'm talking about, you're going to hear it, and then you're going to hear the real story. So we'll play this. It's not very long, and then be right back.
To most Americans, the Pilgrims of Plymouth, Massachusetts are the iconic inspiration for today's Thanksgiving feast. After the winter of 1620 killed almost half of their people, the colonists formed a relationship with the neighboring Wampanoag tribe, who taught them about fishing, planting, and hunting. By autumn of 1621, the colonists had collected enough food to feed the community through the coming winter. The Wampanoags joined the colonists for a three-day feast in honor of their bounty. The feast probably did not include our modern Thanksgiving staple, turkey. More likely, the colonists and Wampanoags dined on roast goose, along with corn, codfish, and lobster. This 1621 harvest meal is now commonly thought of as the first Thanksgiving. Yet for later generations of colonists, New England days of Thanksgiving had little to do with the 1621 harvest festival. Theirs was a religious holiday, descended from Puritan days of fasting, prayer, and giving thanks to God. Every autumn, the governor of each colony would declare days of Thanksgiving for bountiful harvests, victorious battles, or drought-ending rains. In 1777, the Continental Congress decreed that all 13 of America's colonies celebrate a national day of Thanksgiving that year in celebration of their victory over the British at Saratoga. By the mid-19th century, many states celebrated the holiday. However, the date could vary by weeks or even months. A determined magazine editor named Sarah Josepha Hale set about establishing a national Thanksgiving Day. She passionately believed that such a day would help unite a nation headed towards civil war. Hale began a one-woman letter-writing campaign, urging politicians to establish an annual day of Thanksgiving. Her efforts were finally rewarded by Abraham Lincoln, who saw the unifying potential of the holiday. In 1863, 4 months after the victory at Gettysburg, he declared the last Thursday of November to be Thanksgiving Day. By the 20th century, Thanksgiving was a welcome day of leisure from a six-day work week. In the 1920s, the National Football League was formed. In an effort to boost attendance, the fledgling Detroit Lions devised the concept of a Thanksgiving Day game. Parades also became a Turkey Day tradition, and department stores quickly saw their value as a kickoff to the Christmas shopping season. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade began in 1924, and year after year, millions of New Yorkers braved the cold to watch the festivities. Most of all, Thanksgiving is about family. With modern life moving faster than ever, Thanksgiving gives us a day to take a collective breath, reconnect with loved ones, and remember just how much we have to be thankful for.
Okay. That was the bullshit version. Now, what I'm going to give you next is what really happened. So, if you can, try to remember the first clip, and then listen to the second clip, and then see what the differences are and were.
The first Thanksgiving. American schools generally teach a conventional story about the meeting of pilgrims and Indians that finished with an amazing dinner. The end. But there's more to the tale. This video will explain the events around the first Thanksgiving and how it's not the image ingrained in tradition. At the start of the 17th century, southern New England was home to a variety of busy communities within several confederations. These were the people of the first light, and they called their home the Dawnland. Political leaders were known as sachems and had been trading with Europeans for over 100 years before the pilgrims. Relations soured only after deceitful Europeans kidnapped locals to sell as slaves. Permanent European settlement was impossible due to the already high population of native occupants, but in 1616, tradesmen introduced a disease to the Dawnland, whose inhabitants died in droves from a lack of immunity. In 3 years, up to 90% were wiped out in several confederations, including the Wampanoags. Their head sachem, Massasoit, was aware of how close they were to being subjugated by their unafflicted enemy, the Narragansett. He was determined to save his people from such a fate. This was the political world the pilgrims were about to enter. The pilgrims were not called pilgrims by their contemporaries. They were known as separatists, a branch of the English Puritans. King James hated Puritans and began persecuting them in 1604, so the separatists fled to Holland, where they were free to worship. But because they feared losing their national and communal identity, the congregation wanted a new place to plant their church. They decided on America and asked King James for a patent that would grant them rights to build a colony. They plan to make a profit catching fish to pay off the debts to their investors. The Mayflower set sail on September 6th. 2 months later, Cape Cod was spotted and 16 men were sent ashore to inspect the area. Unfortunately, the settlers didn't know how to fish and food was running out. They resorted to stealing from graves, homes, and storage pits to keep everyone alive. Then came their first hostile encounter with natives, but no one was killed. On December 12th, they reached New Plymouth. They did not land on any specific rock, but folklore insists they did. Construction began in January. By winter's end, 44 settlers would be dead from bad conditions. In March, they were surprised when a man named Somerset walked into New Plymouth, greeting them in English. He told them they were building on top of a village called Patuxet, whose residents had all died from the recent epidemic. It belonged to the Wampanoag, and their chief, Massasoit, was watching them. The settlers were eager to trade, so 5 days later, Somerset returned with furs and companions, including Tisquantum. Known famously as Squanto, he had come to tell them in perfect English that Massasoit had arrived. After years of dealing with Englishmen, the sachem did not trust the newcomers. Edward Winslow was sent to be a hostage and declared the settlers' peaceful intentions. Satisfied, Massasoit walked into New Plymouth and was regally greeted by the governor. A peace treaty was created, ensuring mutual protection if attacked by enemies. With the help of Squanto, New Plymouth settlers began to fare better. He taught them how to grow crops and was absolutely vital as an interpreter. To the separatists, he was a gift from God. But in fact, Squanto had been kidnapped from Patuxet in 1614 and shipped to Spain to be sold into slavery. He ended up in London at the home of a merchant who taught him English and arranged for Squanto's return to the Dawnland in 1619. But Patuxet was now gone, wiped away by the epidemic. Massasoit took him in with suspicion because of his years abroad, but needed a translator to parley with the newcomers. He eventually sent his warrior Hobamok to live among the settlers and keep an eye on Squanto. By fall, the settlers had a bountiful harvest and a feast was held to celebrate. Massasoit showed up with 90 warriors and 5 deer for the meal. For 3 days, the English and Wampanoag ate and entertained one another. This was the famous first Thanksgiving children learn about in school. However, the word Thanksgiving would not have been used by these settlers to denote a harvest feast. For Puritans, a day of Thanksgiving was a day of fasting while giving thanks to God in prayer. But the story of pilgrims and Indians does not end here. During New Plymouth's first year, Squanto had been up to something. Realizing his substantial power as the only English speaker of his people, he conceived a plan to overthrow Massasoit. He persuaded locals he could command the English to make war or peace at his will. Hobomok was suspicious of Squanto and warned Governor Bradford. Soon enough, they discovered Squanto's plot and informed Massasoit, who was furious. He demanded Squanto be handed over for a swift execution. Bradford refused. The interpreter was too valuable to give up. But according to the treaty, Squanto's life belonged in the hands of his sachem. Bradford finally conceded. He was about to hand over Squanto when an unidentified ship appeared. The alarm it caused delayed Bradford and worried Massasoit's envoys. Angered and impatient, they left. The ship carried 60 Englishmen planning to build a colony near Boston. They abused the Massachusetts locals, initiating a conspiracy to kill the colonists. Warned about the plot, New Plymouth's leaders launched a preemptive strike to save their impudent countrymen. It bought peace for a time. In that time, more Puritan settlers arrived, soon outnumbering the natives. And while the Pilgrims' Treaty with Massasoit lasted until the sachem's death, other Puritans were not concerned with such alliances. Their fanatic religious principles ensured no peace between the two cultures could last. To Puritans, Native Americans were the other, wild, savage, godless. With such an ideology, the outcome was inevitable. If they did not convert to Christianity and surrender their cultural identity, they had to be eliminated. The first Thanksgiving was a brief moment of harmony between two worlds, but sadly it was short-lived. The capitalist opportunities the Dawnland presented, combined with zealous puritanical beliefs, were incentive enough to wipe away the native inhabitants. There is nothing wrong with sharing a feast of thanks with loved ones, but remember the true events that started the holiday, and not the fairy tale.
Well, there you go. So, listen to that. Do you, when you were in school, do you remember anything about the other things that he talked about? Probably not. Probably not. don't remember them talking about in school that, you know, and we see some of that now, you know, if you're not, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us. You know, you don't need to be here. You know, they what happened was they pretty much came and just took everything. Another thing that they forgot to mention, that when they came over, there was something called a principle called eminent domain, which pretty much meant that whatever you saw, whatever land you saw, if you wanted it, you could just take it. Didn't matter who it belonged to. It's yours. You know, and that's what a lot, you know, they came over, they, you know, that's why to this day, whenever you have people saying that their families have land, I always ask, what tribe did you take it from? Because, you know, before Europeans got here, it belonged to somebody else. So we sitting there talking about, you know, we have all this land. Well, where did you get it from? You got it from somebody. You know, nobody handed it to you. And so that's what they did. They came over and they took. And that went on for centuries, because the country started in the east and it moved west. They were Native Americans living in the Midwest, the Mideast, you know, West. So how do you think we got all this? The government took it. Just took all of it. And so that's what they did here. They came, they built, they took, they killed, you know. They did all of that, but they forgot to tell you about those parts. They just tell you, you know, they had a big meal, everybody was happy, blah, blah, blah. They forget to tell you the other stuff. And they need to tell you the whole thing, the entire story. But they don't. Got three more clips, and I'll play the next one. But, you know, just think about it. You know, it's not bad to, you know, have dinner with your family and friends. You know, that's not the bad part. The bad part is not, you know, having the whole, you know, all of the information about it, you know. Just taking the story, what they give you, and then just believing it, and then, you know. So, let me hit the button. All right, play this, and I'll be back.
Every year in November, a story is taught to America's school children. It goes like this. After a harsh winter, the pilgrims,
hello,
with the help of a native named Squanto,
hi,
reaped a successful harvest and celebrated by inviting the local Indians for a friendly feast and started a yearly tradition.
Yay!
Almost every part of this story is historically inaccurate, and it's time to clear up the myths and lies surrounding the story of Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims were an English sect of the Puritans, the separatist Protestant congregation. These Puritans didn't call themselves Pilgrims, didn't come seeking religious freedom, and didn't wear buckle hats. By the time of the Pilgrims' arrival in 1620, two-thirds of Massachusetts' indigenous tribes had already been killed by new diseases brought by British explorers or kidnapped into the European slave trade. Plymouth Rock lay in the center of the territory of the recently extinct Pawtuxet tribe, which had been wiped out by a plague. Upon landfall, one of the first things the pilgrims did was to rob the graves of the Wampanoag tribe and steal as much of the tribe's winter provisions as they could get their hands on. This caused tension between the Wampanoag, who ruled over Massachusetts, and the Puritans, which continued to increase until 1621, when Massasoit, the leader of the Wampanoags, found it politically advantageous to form an uneasy truce heavily slanted in the Europeans' favor. For the Wampanoags, the alliance was a necessity which allowed them to focus on fighting off other tribes invading their territory. Squanto, or his real name, Tisquantum, was a member of the Pawtuxet tribe whose territory the Pilgrims had colonized. Captured by British slavers 6 years before the arrival of the Pilgrims, he was sold into slavery in Spain, escaped to England, then returned to North America, where he worked with British merchants seeking to exploit Newfoundland. He eventually returned to New England to find his entire tribe dead and the Pilgrims living in what had been his tribe's summer village. Tisquantum would become the key for survival of the Puritans, as he showed them how to plant and fertilize corn and other native vegetables, where to fish, and how to communicate with natives. The Feast of 1621, which we think of as the first Thanksgiving, was not an annual dinner, but rather a celebration of a successful harvest after a harsh winter. A letter written by one of the 50 Puritans at the dinner, Edward Winslow, recounts that they survived this winter because of the Wampanoags, but didn't see them as equals and didn't invite the natives to the feast. During the celebration, the Puritans fired off muskets and cannons for sport, which put the Wampanoags on full alert. 90 armed natives marched to Plymouth to see what was happening, and they stayed to make sure the British weren't planning anything violent. The eventual feast was not one of thanks and respect, but one of distrust and aggressive action. Another, quote, Thanksgiving would only come 16 years later, when the Puritans were celebrating their recent massacre of the Pequot tribe.
Yay!
Even this wasn't what we think of as Thanksgiving today, but instead a day-long Puritan fast and remembrance of God. The holiday and concept we know as Thanksgiving started in George Washington's 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation, where the Puritans aren't even mentioned. The holiday wasn't celebrated nationwide until 1863, when Lincoln declared it a national holiday to try to keep the country united. Even the myth about the Indians and the Pilgrims didn't even come about until the 1900s, yet still this story is taught as fact in schools across the country. So, this holiday season, forget about this made-up story of kindly Indians and grateful, friendly Pilgrims, and instead, honor the natives of then and now with Native American Heritage Day.
Okay. So, got a couple more clips left. And, going to play them, and then that'll probably be a show, because I figure a lot of people are probably busy doing their thing, and like I said, I just want to present the information to you, and then how you do with the information is what it's up to you. So this next clip is actually talking to natives, and they're giving their reasons why they don't observe today as we observe it. They observe it as a day of mourning.
It's just like Malcolm X said. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Plymouth, to me, it's not America's hometown. Plymouth, to me, is nothing more than a continuing the mythology. We don't see any reason to celebrate the arrival of the Pilgrims. What the heck did they do for us? Nothing. My name is Munanam James. I'm a member of the Aquinawampanoag tribe of Gay Head, co-leader of United American Indians of New England, and an organizer of the National Day of Mourning. The truth is that The first Thanksgiving was not in 1621. The first Thanksgiving was in 1637 because Governor Winthrop decided that he would give thanks for the safe return of the people who went to Mystic, Connecticut and participated into the massacre of the Pequot. That was the real first Thanksgiving. And we tend to look at it as like, hey, first Thanksgiving. Here it is, Plymouth Pebble. If anyone thinks that this is where the pilgrims stepped ashore, like I said, they had unbelievably long legs. My father started National Day of Mourning in 1970 because he had been invited to address a big banquet of dignitaries and all this kind of thing, and they asked for a copy of his speech in advance, which he sent. And then within days, they came back and said, you can't give this speech. It's too inflammatory. The pilgrims and the Indians sat down to a beautiful dinner and lived happily ever after. The end. He was censored, plain and simple. It got out under the Moccasin Telegraph, and a few hundred indigenous native people came to Plymouth and they declared it a national day of mourning. And this year marks our 48th year of being on this hill. Really, and that's what this all means, the oppression, and the oppression has not ceased. It hasn't ceased. We continue to experience it. Every time I read that, and I do have to stop because that's hard. It's hard to read it. That's what Day of Mourning means. We stand here in our circle, we have our prayer, we have whatever, and then we speak.
Every inch of this land is Indian land. We are as strong as ever.
Our rates of suicide, our rates of alcoholism, poverty, all these kinds, nothing's really changed. But every year when we come here, we're trying to at least make people aware of things like that. It's just so ridiculous. We're all human beings. I think the problem is they think that we've disappeared. We have not vanished. We have not been conquered. We are still here. What else can I say?
Okay, and we've got one more clip left. It's about 11 minutes. And pretty much the title of this clip is Thanksgiving was an act of genocide. And yeah, it was. But they won't tell you that part. They'll tell you everything else but that part. So I'll play this, and then that's going to be probably the end of the show, because this show was a little bit different. I used to work first shift. Now I work third shift. I used to be off on Tuesdays. Now I work Tuesdays, and I've got to go to work tonight. But I'm still doing this before I go to work. So, and since, you know, this is a holiday and people are busy, which is fine. So I'm just giving the information and, you know, and that's it. But, yeah, so from now on, Tuesdays when I do the show, I'm still going to do the show at the same time, but immediately after I'm finished, I'm going to be getting ready to head on out and go to work. So, yeah, this is kind of weird. So as soon as I'm done with this, then I'm going to, you know, get myself together and go on to work. So while everybody's asleep, I'll be busy doing whatever it is I do. I'll play this and be right back.
Another session of Candace Class, a very special Candace Class with, you know, Dr. Carr, who's been, people in the comments, they loving everything that you have to say. They want to make sure they can always get in contact with you, obviously.
I'm honored to be here with you.
Oh, it's an honor.
Anytime.
And you know, we want to just give this one just some quick attention based off of this holiday that we is among us called Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Now, Thanksgiving, as we know, is a holiday in once you're in school that we teach to our kids that, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians come together and
right.
they share a feast.
Friendship.
And friendship. And it's all about family and sharing.
Yes.
When ultimately, from my studies, and I'm pretty sure you can kind of expound on this even more, is that really that feast was ultimately a celebration for a massacre of over 700 Native Americans. And then once Abraham Lincoln, actually years later, then sanctioned it a holiday and kind of tried to clean it up a little bit. But the actual, you know, feast that the pilgrims were having during that time wasn't a celebration of friendliness or giving at all. It was really like, hey, they finally got some food
right.
because they had been starving.
That's right.
And they killed the godless Indians, which they called it. So I would love to just, you know, kind of pick your brain on that and just say, why is it that we celebrate Thanksgiving and why haven't we heard the truth about Thanksgiving?
Well, I think you just laid it out. If you tell the truth, then you got to talk about an act of genocide, bro.
Right.
Yeah, that first Plymouth colony in the early 17th century. I mean, we know that they landed here in 1620.
Right.
Or as Malcolm said, Plymouth Rock, you know, landed on us.
Yeah, right? We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
That's right. Plymouth Rock landed
on
us, brother. Yeah. And our Native American, the Wampanoag people in that region,
right.
in Massachusetts, and they only came here, these white folks, with about 100 so-called colonists.
Wow.
By the time they got through that first winter, they were celebrating the fact that they had survived. But only about half of them survived.
Wow.
Yeah, and we only were a little over 50.
Wow.
So they had a little harvest. But before they had that harvest, they were dying from disease and starvation.
Right.
There are only two accounts that survived that give any testimony as to who was there at that first Thanksgiving. And both of them written from the white side.
Right.
We know now, looking at some of the records of trials, for example, that some of those folks weren't just eating vegetables and meat.
Right.
Well, they were eating meat, but some of the meat included
human meat.
Human meat, brother. Because when you're starving and somebody died, you're looking at them like, well, you're not using your body anymore, so maybe I just
wow.
need to eat you.
So at the first Thanksgiving, they wasn't no turkey.
Well, they were giving thanks that they didn't have to eat each other anymore.
Right, right, right.
Although in their defense, in a little bit, some of them were tried for that because cannibalism was still something that they didn't want to do.
Wow.
But at some point, you have to survive.
Right.
You know, but the Native Americans, on the other hand, who apparently attended the first Thanksgiving, the Native Americans who may have been as much as 90 folks who were there.
Right.
And there's no clear account as to why they were there.
Right.
They had plenty of food.
Right.
Cranberries, fish. They had done
from
all
that.
From
the land.
It was
their land.
It was their land. In fact, they did help some of those Europeans survive.
Right.
Now, looking back 500 some years later, that may have been a bad decision.
Right.
But they did help them, and they were celebrating. It wasn't friendship. Now, there were some Africans. There were some Native Americans.
Right.
There was one dude named Squanto, for example.
Right.
Who ended up being enslaved.
Wow.
That's how he learned English.
Wow.
So he became a translator.
Wow.
Because he had been pressed into service by these Europeans, who, as you said, looked at these Native Americans as they were godless.
Right.
So they gave thanks to their god for having taken land from people who didn't even see land that way.
Right.
Because they were like,
well, they didn't even see it as theirs. This is like land is land.
Exactly.
They truly believe this land is our land,
is
this
our
land is your land.
Your land, nature.
Right.
In fact, they didn't even farm the
right.
way we think about farming.
Right.
When you look at the European style, they clear off the land, then they make rows of things.
Right.
The Native Americans are like, what are they doing?
Right.
You grow food in conversation with other food.
Wow.
So the squash, the pumpkins, the
it
greens.
It all grew together.
It all grew together, and that way you get to replenish the land. Because what's taken from one gives to the other, and you don't have to keep clearing out land to plant new crops. You
That's
don't plant
powerful.
Single crops.
Right, right, right.
But even the technology of Thanksgiving gives us this notion that somehow the Europeans were superior.
Right.
Their God was better. Their science was better. But no, they had starved, they had disease, and about half of them had died.
Right.
And they celebrated making it through their first winter, and the Native Americans showed up to be like, well, I guess y'all made it. Meanwhile, they plotting on the Native Americans.
Man, and that's, again, like, even going back to what we discussed about Columbus Day and, you know, that it should be shifted to Indigenous Peoples Day. But even, again, this shows the kind hand and the generosity of the natives to, it, even though it was a massacre that, you know, that was all not, that was being set up, and therefore they were all thinking of, the Europeans were thinking to rob them the entire time.
That's right.
But these kind people were still willing to give their land, give their food, and share with them. And we almost, when we celebrate Thanksgiving, we almost, again, we see it from the European perspective.
That's right.
As I'm giving you something and you're giving me something, when ultimately the natives were saving the Europeans.
That's right.
And even that idea, like, that should be something that we should embrace and celebrate. And even as, you know, we all going to sit down and have smoked turkey and chitlins
right.
and ham and all of that
no
stuff.
Question.
And we've turned it more into a cultural day about family,
yes.
Which I can embrace. I mean, anytime we can get
all
down and build with our generations and our family is important. But I think, again, that truth needs to come to the forefront of why these holidays were created and even the purpose. And like I said, even so much so that I felt like Lincoln used it as propaganda.
Oh, you know he did.
To, again, bring people closer together, but
sure.
At the idea to say, look at what the elite have set up.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Well, 1863, when we see it become part of the formal American calendar, you know, the Civil War is still going on.
Right.
Part of it is trying to create a national identity.
Right.
How do you build, and that's what holidays
that everyone can embrace.
That's exactly
that
right.
That patriotism.
That's exactly right. Holidays
right.
are about building a national identity, a patriotism, a love of country.
A myth that everyone can follow.
Straight myth, brother. This is a guy who signs an Emancipation Proclamation, and in the same breath, then signs the death warrant on 38 Lakota Sioux in Minnesota, the biggest killing of people by approved by a president, a guy named Little Crow, who was leading a revolt against the United States Army up in Minnesota, Fort Snelling. Same place they had Dred Scott and Harriet Scott
really?
Enslaved. Yeah,
and
man.
Lincoln signed that.
Lincoln signed a death warrant the same time he signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Wow.
I mean, this is about taking their land from them Native Americans. So we look, and Abraham Lincoln signed Thanksgiving into law. Yeah, he was giving thanks for taking land from Native Americans that he was responsible for dispossessing them of the land.
Wow.
And then, of course, it takes, when do we see it become on our calendar in November?
Right.
1941.
Oh, wow.
What's going on in 1941? World War II.
Yeah.
You need that national identity, that patriotism. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't know about Thanksgiving. Now, you know, you in and out of New York all the time. I was loving the man, that woman, man on the street.
Oh,
talking
yeah.
about, you gotta be able to vote like you get
yeah, right there.
That was
Holler.
Genius, brother.
Thank you.
But, you know, New York City, immigrants are coming, these white immigrants. They don't know they're white till they get to the United States.
Right.
Like we were talking about, they're trying to avoid last place. So I'm from Hungary, or I'm from Germany, or I'm coming. So they come, they're getting jobs wherever they can.
Right.
A lot of these immigrants worked in the garment district in New York.
Right.
A lot of
Schmata
them,
business.
Exactly. A lot of them end up working for R.H. Macy. R.H. Macy is, you know, of course,
Macy.
The department store guy, right? Now, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. They don't know nothing about that.
Right.
So when it comes time for that time, where are they going to go? So they get in this national spirit. What do? They start wearing their national dress.
Right.
They bring their national dishes. They bring them to the store. They bring them around, and they exchange with each other because they're going to get in the mirror. Macy's people are watching this, and they say, this is very interesting. So then
we could capitalize
brother,
off of this.
This. And so what do? They start doing a little march around the block to show off their clothes.
Right.
And then people start watching. Macy's like, this is interesting. Years later, we now have the
Macy's Day Parade.
And in that Macy's Parade, I'm sure you've been. I don't know if you've taken your kids yet.
Yeah,
I go to
I've hosted it before.
Oh, that's right. Look, here's the thing. This is why I go to the Macy's Parade.
Yeah.
I try to go if I'm on the East Coast.
Because
I like to be there, and I like to watch it on TV while I'm watching it in real life.
Right.
What you see is all these people that bake these cookies and all these sales to get their band to the Macy's Parade.
Right.
They don't get on TV, not all of them.
Nah.
They walk by. But I guess what gets on TV? Every float. Why? Because I'm watching the children point to the floats and say, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. Every one of them floats is something to buy.
Yeah.
I'm watching the parents looking too, and they know some of the people, but then some of them they don't.
Right.
Who's the last act in the Macy's Parade? Santa Claus.
Always.
And what is Santa Claus? He's waving bye. Not B-Y-E.
Bye.
Bye. Because what you just saw
was a commercial.
Commercial. And it started with R.H. Macy looking at these immigrants who had knew nothing about Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Who came to try to be part of the American ritual. And he's sitting there thinking, how can I make a profit off of this little celebration? It's really fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah. 1941, they make it official.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there we have it. We celebrate. So keep all that in mind when you eating your fried turkey and your chitlins and you... canned cranberries.
Yeah. And then going back and giving all your money back to the store on Black Thursday Monday and all that.
And the next day you're going to be shopping. They're in your pocket.
That night, midnight.
Yeah. It's going down. Well, Doc, I appreciate this again, dropping that wisdom about Thanksgiving. I know this is going to touch a lot.
Brother, Cannon's class is no joke, brother. I'm loving watching you do this thing.
Oh, I'm loving you being a part of it. Thank you for being a mentor. I thank you for being someone who guides me through this process. And
okay. So... so that's the last clip, and like I said, I'm going to go ahead and cut everybody loose so I can get ready for work. But, yeah, that is the true story about Thanksgiving. You know, if you want more information, you can always look it up. You have a computer in your pocket. So feel free to look it up anytime you got the time to do so. And, you know, whatever you do this weekend, enjoy yourself, have fun, and I'll see you here next Tuesday with another topic. See you. Peace out. Don't overdose on the turkey.